Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, France unveils its plans to turn Mururoa Atoll into a new Club Med-style resort once they finish bombing the pants off it. Yes, and I can't wait for Russia to open their new fun park, Chernobyl Disney. Also today, we chalk up a blue streak with foul-mouthed Australian high jumper Tim Forsyth. We'll find out what it's like to experience a day in the life of Pete Smith. On Radio Gladiators, we've prepared another musical challenge. And joining us live, Australian internet surfing champion Craig Harneth. It's all coming up on the program that frequently prompts an angry phone call from Michael Hutchins, Martin Malloy. Afternoon all, and welcome to Martin Malloy, the final one for the week. With myself as always, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's already turning his vast powers of deduction to the crime of the century. That's right, that daring heist of over 300 deluxe model vibrators from a sex shop in Perth.
I'm looking for anyone with a smile on the face and a spring in the step, Tone.
Okay, we'll be keeping you up to date on that actual real-life crime which occurred today, I think, as the program progresses. Now, let's get straight to Mururoa because, listen to this, in the papers this morning, Prime Minister Paul Keating has welcomed as a major victory French concessions on nuclear testing. Now, you read that and you go, oh, what's happened? Uh-huh. Well, listen to this. A French foreign ministry spokesman yesterday promised to stop all nuclear testing at Mururoa after the 8 test series scheduled to start next month. Now, that's a major victory, is it? The French have conceded to do exactly what they said they were going to do all along.
Yeah.
Because, like, from the very get-go, they said they were going to stop after their 8 tests. So, Paul, hang on, let's see. I can't get my head around this.
Right.
Paul Keating's saying by forcing them not to change their mind, we've scored a major victory. Like John Howard's major victory in getting Noel Crichton Brown to concede not to resign.
Exactly.
I can't follow this. Anyway, the French say these nuclear tests will be the last. Isn't that great? That's good of them, yeah.
Oof.
It's a bit like the Unabomber sending out a press release saying, I'm just going to bomb 8 more schools and that's it. I'm hanging up the hooded sweatshirt. And they also say that after the tests, listen to this, Mururoa may be turned into a Club Med-style resort. Oh, that'll be great, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
Darling, it seems the killing fields are booked solid this year. What say we take the kids to Mururoa Atoll? Isn't that, like turning Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch into a child-minding centre? But this is the part I like. Listen to this. The French spokesman said Mururoa could be turned into a station for monitoring and observing the environment. Oh, that'll be a tough job, won't it? Oh, day 500, nothing. Day 900, still nothing. Day 1600, Pierre thought he saw a blade of grass, but it was just a burnt stick. Day 2700, found another one of those red gum tapes. I think those Greenpeace guys may still be here. Now, I don't think this major victory changes anything, Mick. And I think we've got to forge on and carry out our plan to join and indeed lead the protest flotilla to the atoll. But our boat that we're taking, unlike many, is environmentally safe. Oh, no petrol or diesel-powered launch for us. No. What's our boat powered by?
300 stolen vibrators.
OK, Mickey, fire them up.
Righty-o.
Yep, that's good. Now, the ones over on the starboard side.
Aye, skipper.
OK, onwards to Mururoa. Are you excited, Mick?
More than you could ever imagine, Tone.
Yes.
Robert Palmer, he's still addicted to love here on Martin Malloy. And Mick's just popped out again, I think. Yes, and that gives me another chance. While he's not here, because I think we're all a bit sick of Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner, and I think it's time once again for an episode of Tony Martin's Celebrity Spotlight. Uh, thank you once again, the Gracie Pops Orchestra. And Australian high jumper Tim Forsyth said yesterday that he regretted comments he made to an official after his controversial exit from the final of the World Athletics Championship on Tuesday. An upset Forsyth let fly with a barrage of bad language directed to an official who declared his final jump a miss when the bar fell off after the Australian had left the pit. We've got Tim on the line now from Gothenburg. Tim, you must be very disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Well, the f***ing bar fell off, didn't it?
Now, what did you think when it happened?
I thought, oh, no, I'm f***ed.
And what did you say to the official?
I told him he was f***ed, everyone was f***ed, and they can blow their metal out their f***ing ass.
Really?
Sorry, I can say ass on the radio, can't I?
F***ing oath.
Phew, thought I'd f***ed up there.
Now, when did the bar actually fall? Because you were already off the mat, weren't you?
Off the mat? Mate, I was halfway f***ing home. I'd had a shower, a shave, got in my car, stopped off at a mate's place for a yak. We decided to go down the pub and have a few beers when the barman said, phone call for Tim Forsyth. I picked up the phone and it was the official.
And what did he say?
The bar's fallen off. You f***ed.
Right, now we've seen the footage on the TV. It's not very pretty. Are you remorseful about your reaction?
Yes, I am, Tone. Now I look back at it, I don't know what I was thinking.
If you could do it again, would you do it differently?
Oh, definitely. I certainly wouldn't have said the things I said. I think now with hindsight, I just would have grabbed the bar and shoved it right up his f***ing ass.
I see.
Sorry, I said ass again, didn't I?
I understand the incident is up for review and you could be fined. Who's looking into it? The governing body of World Athletics?
No, a bunch of sailors. If anyone blushes, I'm
I understand you're going to apologise.
Yes, I'm writing a formal letter apologising to the official in question.
Oh, well, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, how do you spell f*** with?
Tim Forsyth, thanks for your time.
F*** you.
Oh, Mickey, you're back.
All right, mate. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, we had the high jumper, Tim Forsyth, on the line.
Oh, right. How did that go?
Oh, look, he was using that kind of language. You know that kind of language that the young people use? It doesn't impress anybody. It's not clever.
I suppose he thinks that's smart,
does
he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, lessons to be learned. Mr. Forsyth.
Indeed. We didn't have to use that kind of language in our day to impress people, did we?
No, you were charming. You'd get a smack. You'd get a smack on the bottom.
Okay, but hey, here's something a bit classier. It's time for a very special message.
Hi, Pete Smith speaking. You know, as a show business big shot, people often stop me in the street and ask, Pete, what is your day like? And if, when my bodyguards have finished having their fun, the well-wisher is still conscious, I'm only too happy to tell them. My day begins at 6 a.m. when I step out onto the balcony for an hour of vocal warm-ups. At 7:30, after donning one of my 350 custom-made Lagerfeld tuxedos, I help my wife prepare for work by testing her on her lines. No, no, no. You don't emerge from the water till Hasselhoff steps into shot.
Oh, of course. Sorry, Pete.
8:15, aerobics all style. And back and down. And step and back. 10:30, I report for work at the Institute of Copper Art, where I'm currently training over 30 Pete Smith impersonators who will eventually enable me to appear omnipresent. After me, you can't buy better than Copper Art.
You can't buy better than Copper Art.
12 noon, the usual crap with those dorks at Martin Malloy.
So then you go, what is it now?
And he says, Pete, you've got to MC the Waterworld premiere.
Come on, there's no way Costner will take part in one of your two-bit skits.
He might.
Come on, guys, pants down.
Okay.
Remember, must try harder. 1 o'clock, lunch with the usual industry hangers-on. What is it now?
Pete, swear to God, I mean, you got to MC the Waterworld premiere in Sydney for me, all right?
Come on, Kev, I'm a busy man.
Oh, man, but the movie was your idea. I mean, it's come on, man, it's the least you can do.
Okay, but you owe me one, buddy. 5 o'clock, I tune into my favorite radio show.
Martin Malloy.
Because it's infinitely preferable to that dross...
Some other show.
I turn out each day. 7 o'clock, I'm in the booth to say, say! 7:05. 7:10.
of the century.
8:30, I'm back in the studio with my old buddies, the surviving members of The Doors, with whom I'm recording a spoken word album of my poetry.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And at 1:30, it's home to bed, where I usually nod off in front of one of my favorite videos.
You can't go past Copper Art for the best in bargains. These beautiful lamp tables have been heavily reduced to only $79. The
normal programming. Martin Malloy.
In the next hour, our guest is going to be, well, his name is Craig Harneth. I don't know if you'd know his work. He used to be in The Kids in the Kitchen.
It's all coming back to you now, isn't it, folks?
I think he likes to keep that quiet, but he's probably better known. Well, not better known, but in recent years, he's done all the music for all of the D-Generation projects, The Late Show and Frontline and Funky Squad as well. That was
about
him.
About 50 pilots that haven't been seen.
That's right. But the reason we've got him in is because he's just nuts about the internet, and we want him to sort of explain it to us from the ground up, what the internet's all about for those who don't know, how it works, and take us on a bit of a trip around the net for some of the more interesting gear that's available.
That's the idea.
That's in the next hour, but before then we'll be playing Radio Gladiators, and today I'm letting you know in advance that it's another musical challenge where we want you to grab an instrument and play a tune down the lines, and today we've got one of the classics.
Yes, there it is. People are taking up instrument lessons now, Tone. They've never wanted to play before.
And you can play it on anything you want, the cello, the sax, whatever. But that's coming up soon.
Entire orchestras.
If there are any symphony orchestras listening, I'd love to hear them go in the full manamana with the woodwinds and everything.
Oh, it'd be nice.
But that's not now. Don't call now. Gladiators is not underway until you hear Pete Smith give the word. And another bit of business we've got to take care of right now on the program, Mick, and it's time to award this week's Fumio to the person or persons whose behaviour has or have provided us with the most amount of material over the last 5 days. And this week's nominations, well, for this prestigious accolade named after the world's least successful plane hijacker, are
Tom Cruise, whose pimple was popped to provide the best lava flow seen in Hollywood since the filming of Congo.
We've got Playboy model and gold digger Anna Nicole Smith, whose decision to wear a wedding dress to her billionaire husband's funeral seemed appropriate as she'd optimistically attended their wedding in a black dress and veil.
Carmen Lawrence, who has refused to acknowledge the authority of the Fumios and declared the entire awards process a politically motivated witch hunt.
And Noel Crichton Brown, who continues to hang around like an unpleasant odour, thus coining a new phrase, smells a bit Crichton Brown. But the winner, who is it this week, Mick?
This week's winner of the Fumios goes to the Naughty Lions.
The Naughty Lions who rampage through Sydney this week.
Cock-a-hoop, doing what they like. They had a great day out. They really did. And to cap it off, they've won the Fumio. Now, they couldn't be here in person, the Naughty Lions, to accept the Fumio, but they're joining us live from the set of their new film, The Lion King Goes to Monte Carlo. Naughty Lions, are you there?
Oh, thanks, Mick. Thanks, Tony. What can we say? It's a great thrill. We really thought Tom Cruise would have won it.
Yeah, that pimple was a whopper.
Yeah, lions don't get pimples.
Really?
What about antelopes?
I don't think so. I saw a platypus with acne.
Very interesting.
Yeah. We'd like to thank everyone who helped with the breakout. Terry the polar bear, Kevin the zebra.
The gang down the reptile enclosure.
Yeah, Clarence the cross-eyed lion from Dactari. On you, Clarence.
I'd like to thank Mum and especially Dad for not eating me when I was a cub. And to our dear friend Kevin, who would be with us tonight if he hadn't been shot in the head by a zookeeper.
Yeah, this Fumio is for you, mate, and for my good buddy here.
Thanks, mate.
Nah, 6 months in my den, 6 months in yours.
Oh, come here, you big lugger.
Oh, I love you, mate.
Well, thanks to everyone for making this Fumio possible. Now we know you love us.
You really, really love us.
This is
is Martin Malloy.
Sometimes you wonder.
Christina New with Party from the album Styling Up here on Martin Malloy. And we've had a lot of calls, Mick. That really was Kevin Costner. Wasn't just one of us doing a silly voice in the sketch with Pete Smith. And didn't we have to beg and grovel to get Pete to agree to do it?
Absolutely. I'd just like to say there's also been a lot of calls by people asking, is that the real Pete Smith? It was.
It's not we done with digital effects you know, harmonizers or any of that kind of gear.
Gee, didn't the sparks fly when those two, flash of the giants.
They had to have separate dressing rooms, all that kind of stuff. But hey, right now, it's time for
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
As we mentioned, it's another musical challenge today. This is the tune we want to hear. We want you to call us up with your instruments. We want piano. See, Mick's already doing it, but see, we don't want that. We want an actual musical instrument. Obviously, we want you to sing that bit, but the we want on a piano, on a guitar, on a
banjo,
recorder, a violin, whatever you got, we want to hear it. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that, and the prize is, well, the three-pack of CDs. It's got people talking. Listen to this.
Here's what Australia is saying about the fabulous three-pack of CDs.
We're going to get on down now.
It's great. There's CDs and there's three of them.
Some shows give you two and, like, some give you four, but a three-pack, it's just fantastic. Well done, Martin Malloy.
I just couldn't believe it. Three CDs all in the one pack. It just blew me away.
Thanks, Martin Malloy. I can honestly say the three-pack of CDs, it saved my marriage.
Silverchair! Oh, sorry, I think I'm in the wrong promo.
The three-pack of CDs.
Not one, not two.
But three CDs in the one pack.
One pack.
The three-pack. Only on Radio Gladiators.
Accept no imitations.
Do you think people get the idea?
So, let me get this right. It's a three-pack of CDs. Is that right? Am I correct in saying that?
That's what it is. You've got the idea. And that's just the tip of the iceberg because...
where are they? I'm going to go get them now.
You go into the draw for that weekend for two at Le Meridian at the Rialto, and we know, as we well know, it's the soul of Europe in the heart of Melbourne. Do we have a little promo for that, Gracie? No. Okay, then. Call now with your instruments, 1-800-657-657. Here on Martin Malloy, and today it's Radio Gladiators. It's a musical challenge. We're challenging you to play this particular tune here. Down the phone to us. It's the Muppets doing Manamana, bit of a classic, and just to illustrate the kind of desperation that people have to get their hands on the three-pack of CDs, I've answered the phone. The guy goes, I can play it. I'm going, what's your instrument? Mate, the passenger seat of me car. So that's the kind of grip, the kind of feverish grip that the three-pack inspires on people's imaginations. And who have we got first, Mickey?
We've got Liz on the line. Hello, Liz.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Okay, what's your instrument?
I think it's a flute, last time I looked.
Okay, well, I tell you what, you better go and have a close look because you're required now in front of a national audience to give it a burl for Manamana. Give it a go.
Give it a burl, okay. But I've got no idea how it goes because it's my friend.
Well, I think that's got that Jane Rutter just throwing the instrument out the back and saying, I'm getting a proper job. That's good there, yes.
You deserve a grant, Liz. Our next caller is Troy. G'day, Troy.
Yeah, g'day.
How are you, mate?
Good, mate.
You sound like you're in traffic.
Oh, yeah, mate. I'm in the middle of Brizzy at the moment.
In the middle of Brizzy? What are you driving?
Truck, mate. Star.
It's going to be hard to play an instrument. What are you going to play?
Really, have you got a cello in there?
Hey?
What do you got for us?
I've got an air horn for you, mate.
Oh, okay. We're not going to get into legal trouble here, are we?
Just don't say my name, mate, and I should be right.
Okay, Troy.
Okay, Mr. X.
There we go. Manamanam. Manamanam.
Hang on, he's playing Revolution number 9 now.
How was that?
People are driving down the highway thinking they're in Duel or something.
I got cars driving off-road everywhere.
It's like a scene in The Terminator.
Yeah, running through red lights to get away from me.
Oh, that's very impressive, Troy. Oh, sorry, Mr. X. Who have we got next, Mickey?
Now we got Melanie on the line. Hello, Melanie.
Hi.
What are you going to play for us, Melanie?
My sister's saxophone.
You're going to play your sister's saxophone, dude?
She's going to sacrifice the sister's saxophone for the segment. Let's hear a bit of Manamana, Melanie.
Oh, she doesn't know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Your Mrs. Manamana. Manamana.
Manamana. Manamana.
Okay, that's enough, Melanie. That's a sensational Lisa Simpson you're doing for us there.
Yeah.
That's great. And have we got time for more, Mickey?
Yes, we've got Jessica on the line. Hello, Jessica.
Hello.
What are you gonna play for us?
We're going to play the recorder.
Okay, go for your life. Here goes.
Ma-da-da-da.
My God, there's dogs running from everywhere.
And who have you got on backing vocals there?
Oh, we're just legends, all right? We've got a teacher and three students in the background.
Well, obviously, only students just starting your journey.
Yes, we're actually going to a Sydney Stafford to sing.
Well, I hope they know what they've got in store for them. Thanks, Jessica.
I hope they open with a bit of manamana.
And our last caller is Adrian. G'day, Adrian.
G'day, man.
What are you playing?
300 musical vibrators.
You've already heard that today.
Oh, have you? Sorry, I'm actually playing a sax.
A saxophone, are you?
Yeah, do you want me to go for it?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Manamana.
Interrupted. You were off.
I think he was going to do a medley for us. I think that's the best.
I was going to go into the Fisher and Paykel commercial, but you interrupted me.
Well, I tell you what, hang on the line, and after we've announced the winner, we might get you to take us out with that.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
But in the meantime, the winner is Tone.
Yeah. I think it's going to be that bloke right there.
Adrian!
Troy was pretty impressive, and he did, you know, cause a bit of mayhem on the roads, but that was the finest musical rendition. I think we have to give it to that bloke there.
Yeah. Well done, Adrian.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Adrian, you've got the 3-pack of CDs. Excited.
Yeah, am I ever. Words cannot describe it.
Well, you've gone into the draw for the trip for Le Meridian, and just play us out with a bit of tune as I announce that, in the next hour we'll be doing Internet for Beginners with Ray Carneth. Take it away, Adrian.
Okay, stop, Adrian.
Thank you, Diesel. Come to me as we enter the second hour of Martin Malloy, and it's the part of the program where we involve somebody else. Now, earlier in the week, we had Andrew Goodwin in.
Mm-hmm.
He's a comedian, and he was of the view that the internet that we read so much about, and it's becoming part of our lives without us even knowing it, he thinks it's a bit of a dud. He thinks it's CB radio for the 90s.
Well, he bagged it.
He did. He went to town. Mm. So what we've done, to present the opposing viewpoint, we've got somebody who just loves it to death. Make him welcome. He's a musical genius as far as we're concerned. It's Craig Harneth. Craig, thanks for coming in.
No worries.
Now, sorry for just throwing the musical genius tag at you, but...
It sits comfortably, doesn't it?
It is a mantle that I'm not, you know, completely uncomfortable with.
Sure.
Let's go back through the Harno story. Let's see, you were in the Kids in the Kitchen, correct?
Mm-hmm.
In the engine room?
Yeah.
You were the Todd Hunter of the group, face it, weren't you?
Well, I am now, anyway.
Now, do you see the kids at all these days?
Haven't seen him for a while, no, but I rang Scott the other day and his phone was disconnected. So.
Oh, really?
But I heard he was taken off to France, so maybe he's gone.
That old
recording session.
Mm.
Beautiful. Now, once you left the kids, you pretty much jumped on board the D-Generation train. You did all the music for us on The Late Show and Frontline and Funky Squad as well. You did all their music. Tell us about creating that music briefly just for Funky Squad, getting that 70s feel. How hard was it?
It actually wasn't too hard because I worked with a guitar player. No, we were 80s. That was the mantle I had to throw off.
Okay.
The guitar player that I use is Martin Lubrin, who's very Mr. 70s, shall we say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we say that he has got two Valiant Chargers? Not one, two. he'd only just bought the first one when he was doing Funky Squad, so he was quite in. And he actually brought in clothes, and as the day went on, he got more and more dressed. Platforms, polyester shirts. He brought in clothes for everybody. It completely set the mood.
I saw him the other day in the street. He was the spitting image of KC. Was he? Looking for his sunshine band. But, of course, in addition to just, doing a bit of ivory tinkling, you spend most of your day, Craig, at the computer surfing the internet. Is that correct?
Yes. I suppose that... I would do waste a lot of my day surfing the internet, yes.
Now, you don't read papers or watch telly anymore, is that right?
Oh, no, I watch TV. Can't go past your basic sense.
Can you watch TV on your
net? I think there's a small upgrade to your computer where you can actually have a little tiny window with a TV going at the same time while you're doing everything else, which is something that I'm appealing to my wife for my upcoming birthday for.
Now, let's say you're out there, you're listening to the Martin Molloy program, and you've got no idea what people are talking about. What exactly is the internet for those who don't know?
Well, put simply, all it is a bunch of computers all over the world that are actually hooked up together via wires, optical fibre and satellites, depending on where you are, whether you're in Tonga or whether you're in America. Mm-hmm. And you dial in from your house via a phone to some computer somewhere, which, you know, or all these places that you pay to be on. Mm. And then once you're in there, you can just go from there via the big wires to everywhere else.
Yeah. You don't need a passport or anything like that. You're just there.
Nah. And contrary to popular belief, it is only a local phone call, unless you're an idiot and subscribe to a Sydney one, I suppose, and live in Melbourne.
Right. And what about, is it just pure anarchy? Does anything go on the internet? Is that what it is?
Well, it gets a bit like that, but there is a large proportion of it that is exactly like a CB radio as well.
Really?
For those of you out there who do want to type the odd good buddy on the screen, well, I don't know if that kind of works the same way, you know. How do you do it with the accent?
Do you have to have a lumberjacket on when you're using it?
The beauty of the internet is you can actually have nothing on when you're using it.
Right. Now, what sort of messages do you get? Do people call you up and throw stuff at you?
Well, you get most of your messages via email, which is just electronic mail.
So it's like the mail, but it's not.
But there's no stamps.
Is it there every day on time? Is it, you know, there every day?
Well, it's instant. If I mailed you now, you'd have it in as long as it takes for the electrons to go down the wire, I suppose. And depending on whether your provider's got his computer on or not at the time, I suppose.
Now, Craig, what we did with you is we said we want you to spend about 24 hours and just have a bit of a surf around and find some interesting stuff for us. And I believe you found some stuff.
Oh, yes. I've got a couple here that I'd actually read about before I found them. That's how I found them.
Well, we'll get to
place.
Those in a moment because we want to hear some better music. Have we got any kids in the kitchen, Gracie?
Oh, no.
No, we haven't. Sorry about that.
And could have brought a CD in with me, too.
Oh, well. Okay.
I got a few lying around. Especially that second album.
Oh, we know that feeling. But we'll be back to talk again with Craig Harneth in just a moment here on Martin Molloy.
Martin Molloy on SAFM.
Here on Martin Molloy, where Craig Harneth is with us today. He's a man who just loves the internet. And Craig, you've been surfing around. What have you found for us of interest to the listeners? And this will really give us an insight into what's available in the way of interesting entertainment on the internet.
Okay, well, I've got a couple of things here about video cameras, but before I do them, one of the things that I hadn't mentioned to you guys while we were off air, so I'm just going to surprise you with it, but it's not that exciting, is there's this thing called HOMER, which is helpful. I can't remember what it stands for. Who cares? What it does is you log into it and you rate 50 bands, or if you're smart, you rate 200 of them, where noughties past the earplugs and 70s couldn't live without them.
Right.
And then you can actually, then you send a message through and say, suggest, and it sends you back 5 bands that you should like and 5 bands that you should hate.
Right.
Which is really good because you get to find out about, especially overseas acts that you never would have heard of otherwise, that are in the style that you like. But one of the first ones that I got back that I didn't like, I thought was really interesting, was Wayne Newton was the top of the list for no.
Could we get one of those here for our music programmer, do you think?
Kind of possibility.
So people could just give immediate feedback.
That'd be great.
So they don't like Deborah Harry, for example. Just jump on
by
and let him know.
Well, Fox has actually got a website.
Yes, I think they have. All the stations around the network that we're broadcasting on, they just get letters and faxes, and they say, you know what they, you know what people really want to hear? And this might surprise you. Tijuana Brass. And I know that's not really the most popular kind of music that we play on the program, but people just want more Tijuana Brass.
Hey, Craig, we were...
that's Mana Mana, I think you're doing there.
Now, we were mucking around with the internet ourselves. Someone else was using it for us, and we got the picture of, or the alleged picture of Kurt Cobain's autopsy photograph up. Would that be the legitimate item? Is that the kind of thing you can access?
I don't tend to go in quest of things like that because they usually end up being fruitless wastes of 2 hours of your life. And it's almost always...
But you spent 3 years with kids in the kitchen.
I learned my lesson, you see.
Okay, fruitless waste of time. Let's see what Craig's got for us. What are these live video cameras?
Okay, well, there's quite a few of these live video cameras on the net that you go into a site and you can actually see. There's cameras that are mounted in certain positions where you can see places or people or things. And one of them that I've got here is the corner of Hollywood and Vine, which is really good because I logged into it at the Savo to bring in a printout of the page to show you guys. And luckily, it was a corner of Hollywood and Vine because it got a light. Because if you look at the Wiltshire Boulevard down here underneath it, it's a bit dark, as in it's 11 o'clock at night.
But of course.
The funny thing was, at least there was a guy walking across in front of this camera, whereas Hollywood Boulevard...
It's a black square, listeners. He's showing us a black
I'm
square.
I'm pointing at the black square.
So what you're saying is you could be at home with a computer, and you could just say, I want to know what's going on at the corner of Hollywood and Vine. I want to see if Hugh Grant's up to any of his shenanigans.
Well, you never know what's going to be going on there, really, do you?
And you can just plug in and you can have a look at what's going on there.
So you can get one of your mates who's like overseas on the big backpacking tour of America just to stand there for 2 hours waiting for you to finally get in on your computer just so you can see him and go, oh, cool.
And how many of these cameras have they got? I mean, that's outrageous. People could be watching anywhere, anytime. Is that what you're telling me? Mm-hmm. And you're trying to tell me the internet's a good thing?
Well, at least you can look at it. No, it probably isn't, actually.
Well, see, you can either do that. You can watch that, or you can really watch Channel 10. So, you know, there's a bit of a, you know... There's
this
choice.
Image updates every 20 seconds, though.
Ah, of course, right. Whereas Channel 10 is still playing The Simpsons from a couple of years
and
ago.
What about, before you plow into that, the other thing I wanted to know was credit cards. So if you put your credit card on the internet or you pay with anything, what's the... Is there a possibility that people are going to get access to personal information?
The answer to that is there is a definite possibility. There are places that have different ways of dealing with it, but there's actually a couple of, well, some really heavy-duty companies like Visa and MasterCard are completely dug in at the moment to getting a situation where you can send your credit card over and it doesn't actually go to the place that you're paying it to. It just goes through them.
Yeah.
You get verified. They say, yes, you can have this thing. And then but what it means is the little guy with the glasses and the greasy hair doesn't get to see your number.
You know, this is fantastic because now you can get steak knives from anywhere in the world. That's sensational. Just before you go, Craig, what is, you've written it down for me, Greg's Nipple Watch. What is Greg's Nipple Watch?
Well, I'd heard about this one, but I'd never actually gone looking for it. And I thought, well, they're going to be interested. And it's actually a server somewhere in America. But I don't know where. And what it is this guy every day takes a photograph of his nipple, scans it, which, you know, is quite an effort, then puts it into this web page so that you can look at it. And then you can. And then I didn't realise that. I thought it was just a picture of his nipple, right? But you can actually, then he wants you to give it a rating.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he wants to know colour, perkiness, panache.
And does he throw in celebrity nipples from time to time?
No, well, you can see, he's actually got quite stringent... prerequisites here. You can only judge once per nipple.
Craig, I'm remembering the phrase fruitless waste of time. And, I'm starting to doubt how you've been spending your time, my friend.
Oh, you guys didn't want me to bring in any of the interesting stuff. You wanted the stuff that you can make gags about.
We're always on the lookout for nipple gags on the program. So thanks very much, Craig. And I think now we've done our duty. We've presented both, you know, points of view.
I think it's going to be crystal clear to everyone out there now. They're informed. They can make a decision.
I fully supported the other side of the argument now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good on you. Thanks very much, Craig Hunt. That's where you say goodbye.
Oh, thanks, guys, and see you later.
Okay. See you on the net. Thanks for joining us. Oh, Martin Malloy.
The new FM.
Thanks to our guests, Craig Harness and Tim Forsyth, and, of course, the Naughty Lions. And we must thank all our gladiators, especially Troy, who didn't win but caused a lot of havoc in the...
Sorry, you can continue.
I was rudely interrupted.
No, I was just going to say, Troy really, I'd like to have a prize for him because he was so desperate for the three-pack of CDs. I think he may have broken several laws.
He could have, but we'll get you next time, Troy. Just a quick hello to my taxi driver, Welly Kalula, and no need to pick me up tonight. I'm not going home.
Okay, and as always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie, all the button pushers around the network, the woman who does the voices, we can't, Kath. Garrett, and of course the man in the glass booth, Mr. Pete Smith. We'll be back next week with a lineup of guests that includes, well, our old favourite Steve Bedwell and Paul Hester, plus Michael Winslow, the man who does the noises in the Police Academy movies, and we're hoping he'll be conducting a silly noise workshop here on the program. But Monday we'll be talking with Tim Ferguson about don't forget your toothbrush. So be there, people. Until next week, remember...
Mana, mana.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.